And what a busy time trying to get everything done and get everything put in order and to plan and make sure we get everything just right and the hurry and scurry. And sometimes there's just a little bit of turmoil that takes place trying to figure things out, getting with this side of the family or that side of the family, when to do that, who to get what. And then all of this stuff is happening. And you come to church on the Sunday before Christmas and you see the title of the message is The Provision of Peace. The pastor really is going to preach on peace right before Christmas with all this stuff going on? Well, we're finishing a message series in which we're focusing our attention on the names of Jesus, especially as they are found in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. You're welcome to turn there. That's the text we've been preaching upon the last several weeks here. And focusing our attention, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from this time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. We've studied this passage. We've studied the names of Jesus, the names by which Jesus is known, the names that describe him. And I trust that it has become abundantly clear that Jesus is unmistakably God. We've dealt with each one of his names here as described in this passage. I just really appreciate Pastor Nate's message last Sunday as he talked about Jesus being Everlasting Father. Wow. Powerful as he dealt with this text. I appreciate this. But we've been talking about this passage. But as you think about the fact that Jesus is unmistakably God, that tells you a little bit as to why Jesus is so special. Jesus is God. He is God the Son, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Your Savior, if you would but believe, even here this morning. But who's Jesus? How is he described? And as we go through this passage, I want you to know Jesus. Not just know about him, but to know him personally. I heard someone talking just the other day. And they said, what makes this season exciting is not all the gifts and all the stuff that's going on, but the truth about Jesus. This season is about a person and a relationship with a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Do you have a relationship with him? Do you know him? Not just about him, but know him personally. This person went on to describe as how exciting all the accounts of Jesus are in the Scripture and who he is and what he did. But the fact is, he still is who he is and he still works in mighty ways. Do you see the excitement of who Jesus is and what he does in your life today? Do you have a relationship with him? That's what we're talking about. Jesus is fascinating. And so, as we look into his word, even as we've been doing here in the last several weeks, to enhance your idea or your knowledge of Jesus, but so again that you know him personally. And it makes a difference in your life. We flew back from Florida last night. In fact, I put my head on the pillow at 2:09 this morning. And so I hope I don't put you to sleep. I hope I don't put myself to sleep while I'm preaching this morning. But you need to realize, as we think about flying back from Florida, that getting through security on time is one of my biggest anxieties, literally one of my biggest anxieties in this life. I don't know what it is about it. Man, it got to get to the airport. We got to get through security. Once I'm through security, and we made it through on time. We're at the gate. Man, I'm cool. But there's just something about that that just, I mean, you're pulling your shoes and your belt and everything. It just gets to me. Well, I got the text yesterday morning, your flight is delayed. Okay, that's cool. But you're not going to make your connection flight in Philadelphia, so you got to make other arrangements. I'm like, cool, how do I do that? So I get online, and the next flight that they offered online was 5:15 this morning, and get in Dayton at 9 a.m. Okay, that's not going to work. So I call up American Airlines, and I got this really nice lady, and I said, listen, I'm a pastor, and this isn't going to work. I got to preach Christmas message at 10 o'clock. And she's like, okay, well, let's see what... She worked it all out, and we got in. We were supposed to get in at midnight. I had to go through Chicago instead of Philadelphia. No problem. Hey, I'm cool. I am preaching on peace, okay? I can do this. So our flight's pushed back. We weren't, instead of leaving at middle of the afternoon, we were leaving at 4. So I had to call a rental car company. And, hey, we're just going to be an hour late. And, oh, that's okay. It's going to be $4. I said, okay, cool. That's no big deal. Okay, your total will be $64. You got to be kidding. Oh, well, it's a new contract. We have to rewrite the contract, so that's another $60. Okay. I'm preaching on peace here. I said, this does not make sense. And so I said, okay, we will make it to the airport, okay? I'm leaving now. I go back in. I tell Teresa, we have to leave now. I'm not going to pay $64. Excuse me. I'm preaching on peace. So we pack everything in. We get into the car. And we get about halfway to the airport. I said, you know, $64 is worth my godliness, okay? And so... because I'm preaching on peace. But we're not through security yet. And so we get to the airport, and my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, they wanted to meet us. This was in Tampa. They wanted to meet us. And, of course, we're well in advance now because we had to get there early because we had to turn the rental car in. So we can eat before we go through security. So... we're getting ready to, we ate, and I'm cool. And so, okay, you know, we got to get to security now. It's about time. And so we go up to, we're TSA pre-checked. Hey, you know, short line, we go up there, and we have the mobile app. All right, mobile app on the phone. So I put Teresa's down there. Beep, she's cleared. Okay, ma'am, step this way. Put mine down there. I'm sorry, sir. You're going to have to reopen the app, see if that'll work. Sir, you're going to have to go back to ticketing and get a boarding pass. We're not through security yet. I'm like, Lord, help me. Teresa, she goes on ahead. I have to go. He says, you have to go all the way back to ticketing. You got to go down. You have to take the tram. I can do this. I'm preaching on peace. I made it to the gate. On time. Did I mention that my most difficult time of anxiety is trying to get through security? Do I need this message? Absolutely. Pastors are people too. Has your Christmas holiday been defined by chaos? And this Sunday before Christmas, the answer to that chaos is the fact that Jesus is Prince of Peace. Jesus is Prince of Peace. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He not only provides peace, he is peace. He is Prince of Peace. And when you think of Prince, you think of anticipation. Pastor Nate talked about he's an everlasting Father. And the idea of everlasting. It's not going to end. And here we see that there's Prince of Peace as he's born as a child, as a baby, then that we look ahead to that peace, but then because of who he is, there's real peace in him even now. Turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, familiar Christmas passage, appropriate to read on Christmas Sunday morning, right? Luke chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 1 through 14. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Joseph and Mary had unexpected travel plans as well. Think about that. Went up to Bethlehem because he was the house and lineage of David. To be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Another expectation change. We're going to get to Bethlehem and we're going to check in. We got a nice place and I'm sure everything will work out. You're going to have to give birth in a stable. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth together peace among those with whom he is pleased." There's peace through Jesus for those among whom he is pleased. Among those whom he's pleased. One commentator says, "Peace with God is the grand necessity of a fallen world." So Jesus provides peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And he provides peace, first of all, for you if you would believe in him. There is peace for you. And regardless to what your circumstances are, regardless to who you are, regardless to what your circumstances are, where you may be in life, realize Jesus provides peace for you if you would believe in him. And the phrase here, among those with whom he is pleased, means that peace is upon those who have received his grace. That's why I keep saying, if you are willing to believe in him, there is peace for you if, it's conditional, you believe in him and have received his grace. Those with whom he is pleased. The same word is used for Jesus during his baptism when the Father, his voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And it is only by the grace of God that God is pleased with you and me. I am so thankful for God's grace. And I knew that even though I struggled with anxiety yesterday, I was in the hands of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. I needed that. He was graciously teaching me my dependence, the importance of my dependence upon Him. I hadn't arrived. And I need a lesson in His peace in the middle of uncertainty. Am I going to make it? Does God's favor rest upon you? And so many people think that peace is some warm, fuzzy feeling that we all need to conjure up, especially during this season of the year. And in this passage, you find that that peace is the result of the favor or grace of God resting upon men. Grace, in short, is God's gift that's given that you nor I deserve. We don't deserve the grace of God. That's the definition of grace. It's something that's given that you don't deserve. We don't deserve salvation. There's not a one of us that deserves salvation. We're not good enough. We could never be good enough. You can't earn or work for your salvation, because in some way or another, you'll fall short. You'll become anxious about getting through security or whatever it is. But God provided salvation for those who would believe that Jesus came to die in their place for their sins. That's the grace of God. I told you that we were late and we were trying to get to the airport in our rental car. And over the phone, they said it's going to be $64. I got to the airport. We were late. I mean, the traffic, the lights and everything. We were late. Like 24 minutes. I mean, I'm watching the clock. We're late. It's going to cost me $64. Okay. It's worth trying to be godly. Got up there. No fee. No, wait a minute. I didn't ask. I said, oh, you know, like, okay. Final bill. Okay, I'm good with that. That's grace. I was late. No fee. I deserved a $64 fee because I was late. I fell short of the time that I was supposed to be there. No fee. That's grace. And by the way, that's the way it is with salvation. There's not a person here that deserves salvation. We're all sinners. We deserve to pay for our sin. And by the way, the payment for your sin is death. We all fall short. However, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, it is by grace that you are saved. It's by grace that you're saved. You don't deserve that salvation. It's by grace that you're saved through faith, believing that Jesus died for you. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. It's a gift of God. What a great time of the year to be talking about the gift of God, salvation through Jesus Christ. Won't you surrender to Jesus today? Salvation provides true peace. As Linus says, that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Won't you receive the gift of God's grace today so that you can experience the peace that God promised so long ago to those who would accept His grace upon those whom His favor rests? And the greatest Christmas of all would be to receive the gift of salvation today. There's no doubt in my mind that there's one or more here today that you're just not sure. You're not sure that if you were to die today, that you would be in the presence of God. And if you're not sure, there's a lack of peace, right? It's like, I don't know. When there's that uncertainty, am I going to make it? That there's a lack of peace. There's turmoil. And the greatest gift this Christmas that you could receive would be salvation through Jesus Christ.
And when you do that, you will experience the peace of God. And a gift becomes yours only if you're willing to receive it. And the result of that is peace. So often I hear people who have trusted Christ as Savior. Some of the testimonies here, many of your testimonies are probably like this, but several that have come to Christ over this past year, have, when they have prayed and they've trusted Christ as Savior, they said, in Jesus' name, amen. They pray and they ask the Lord to save them. And they say, as soon as they say amen, they say, man, it's like the weight of the world was lifted off my shoulders. That's the way salvation is. It provides peace. And sadly, however, I find that there are those who have, after they've trusted Christ and they live, that they still have some turmoil in their lives. They have that salvation, but then they get caught up in the moment, like traffic or security at the airport or whatever it is, and they get caught up in the tension of the moment, and they're robbed of peace. It may be family plans for Christmas. Man, you're just like, I just don't know. I do not want to spend any time with that person. It might be the busyness of the season. It might be your health or the health of a loved one. It might be your work. Oh, I can't believe I've got to work during Christmas. It may be a project that is due. Can't believe that the teacher's assigned homework over Christmas vacation. Ugh. Whatever you think may be robbing of you of peace, remember, your circumstances do not rob you of peace. People cannot rob you of peace. You have a choice as to how you respond to people or circumstances. You have a choice. Romans 12, verse 18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with all men. If it is so, in other words, you do what you can do to live at peace with the people around you that you may have difficulty with whom you may have difficulty. You have a choice. You do what God expects you to do in relationship to them, and then you trust God for the peace. Romans 15, 13. May the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Peace is the result of trusting the Lord despite your circumstances, despite others, and despite how you feel. There's true peace available through Jesus. And God gives hope. God gives hope to the heart that's in turmoil, the aching heart. What a blessing to live in and know the Prince of Peace and the peace of God. You have a relationship with Him. So I encourage you to develop and strengthen that relationship with Him. Spend time in His Word. I've had a busy couple weeks here, and it's just, I thought, I'm busy enough that I need to take some time to spend with God. And each day, just God, thank you for what you're doing in my life. This is a great time to plan ahead for the new year, to get into a regular Bible reading plan. But not just to say, okay, I read through the Bible the year, check. But to say, I want to know the Lord. Have that relationship with Him. So as you look into the Word, to know He is speaking to you. And He is with you, and to strengthen your relationship with Him. And by the way, the matter of peace has ramifications for the church. If the church is full of people who know the peace of God, Ephesians 2:14 says, for He Himself is our peace. He is peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Isn't that great? And that's in the context of the Jews and the Gentiles coming together, no longer any barrier to become one as a church. I mean, you talk about differences. They became one as a church. There's peace. And praise God for the spirit of unity and the bond of peace here at FBC. I just rejoice in that. And peace results from that unity. I encourage you, if you haven't had opportunity, we have been handing out I Am a Church Member by Thomas Rainer. And it's just an excellent, if you don't have that, we want you to have it. We've been handing out one per family. We've been giving it out to new members and so on. Chapter 3 talks about this very thing. We just rejoice in the spirit of unity and the bond of peace here at FBC. Amen? Peace results from that unity. So Jesus, the Prince of Peace, provides you with peace, if you would but believe. But Jesus also provides peace to the world. When He returns to establish His kingdom, Pastor Nate talked about that last week, that that He is everlasting Father. I love that illustration about the T-shirt. You know, us guys have our favorite T-shirt. And I have one. And I just don't want to get rid of it. But man, it's air conditioned, you know. And I love that thing. Teresa's like, when are you going to get rid of that? You know, things that we have don't last. But Jesus is everlasting Father. And the world, we need to realize that He will provide peace to the world when He returns to establish His kingdom. There is going to be a time when peace on earth will be a literal reality. The gospel will bring peace. The Savior was predicted as the Prince of Peace. The world is at war with God. Sinners are at enmity, at odds with their Maker. Against each other, there is no peace to the wicked. But Jesus came to make peace, as one commentator says. And peace is ultimately the result of the gospel. Look at Luke chapter 2. You're maybe still there. The angel said to them, "Fear not." He's talking to the shepherds. "Fear not." Fear is a lack of peace, right? I'm afraid I'm not going to make it through security on time. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." This is good news for everybody. What is that good news? "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." One who can save you. That's good news. He is Christ the Lord. The day is coming when Jesus will return. He will provide peace on earth as He rules and reigns. We look forward to that day, but we may live with peace in our hearts now, if you would but believe. As you live in peace in the middle of turmoil, you provide a stark contrast to the world around you. When the world around you seems to be falling apart, you know, it's just like, what is going on in this world? I mean, you just think of that, is it Allstate commercial? And, you know, they said, you know, you have 500-year storms or floods. And we've had how many in the last year? I mean, that earthquake in Alaska. You think of the hurricane that came through Florida and the Panhandle area, Panama City and everything. Down there, they're still talking about it. And they're sending teams to help out in that area still because of the devastation. Had one relative down there say, you know what, it's going to take 3-4 years before that place is even back to normal or any semblance of normality. It's like, what in the world's going on? And then you have all this government shutdown and all. What in the world is going on in the world? And then you think about what's going on in your own life. That stuff, you may be far removed from that. You hear about all of that, but what's going on in your own life? Whew. here you have the opportunity, as you believe in Him, to show that the Prince of Peace rules in your heart by the peace that you display in the middle of the turmoil that may be going on around you, and how you handle the challenges of your life, the uncertainties, the unexpected delays, the bumps in life's road, indicate your trust in the Prince of Peace. I know I haven't arrived in this. Yesterday was a challenge. And I was aware of what we were looking at even today. But thank God for His gracious opportunity to grow. At every turn, I was like, okay, breathe. You can do this by God's grace. And so experience peace through knowing Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Not knowing about Him, or even a casual relationship with Him, but knowing Him deeply. And I hope that as a result of our study, that you know God, that you know Jesus Christ in a more intimate and personal way as a result, and as a result, you experience the peace that only He provides. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And listen to this. Of the increase of His government, Pastor Nate talked about that, there will be no end. But of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. Think about that. An eternity of peace is what we have to look forward to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to learn and know of Your peace. To know that when we go through the turmoils of this season, when we go through the turmoils of this life, that we can trust You, the Prince of Peace. And when we have those challenges that come up in our lives, to help us to pause and think, we have peace through Christ. And it's there. We can trust You for the circumstances. We can trust You for those relationships. Because You're at work. And because we can know that You are at work, or because we know You're at work, we can experience peace. What a blessing. And so, Father, I pray that if there's anyone here who is maybe even confused, like the man in our video earlier, just doesn't understand or know about the significance of Jesus truly being the reason for the season, that they would surrender it to You today, or that they would at least inquire as to the matter of salvation, that they may know You, the Prince of Peace.